Call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. Call to order at 6 p.m. Tuesday, May 12, 2026. Ask Councilman Luby to read the mission statement, please.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, may I have a roll call?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell. Ms. Coleman.
Here.
Mr. Longo. Ms. Luby.
Here.
Mr. Chastain.
Here.
Mr. Tungle. Mr. Tudikoff.
Here. We have a quorum.
Mr. Longo is trying to connect online, sir.
Longo's online?
He is online. Let me...
Didn't hear him.
He is pressed. Mr. Longo? Mr. Longo, you might need to unmute your microphone. Mr. Longo is online, sir, but has a poor connection, but he has tried to call in again. Just a moment, please. We have Mr. Longo back.
Based on a roll call vote, we have a quorum. Longo online, but yet cannot be heard from.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
With that, we do have a quorum. It's been established. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
It's to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to our meeting, those of you in chamber, those online. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please.
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Luby. Hearing no objections, the agenda is adopted. Next item is approval of the minutes of previous meeting. We have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the regular meeting held April 28, 2026, and special meeting held May 1st, 2026, as presented.
Move to approve the minutes of April 28, 2026 and May 1st, 2026.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Luby. Without objection, the minutes are approved as presented. The next item is the City Manager's Report. I'll turn this over to Interim City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have my attached report. I just have two items that I wanted to share with you. One is a new item and one highlight from the report. First, the new item, I received information from our federal lobbyist, Seb O'Kelly, on Monday this week, informing us that Senator Sullivan is tentatively planning a visit to Unalaska on May 28th and 29th. And then from the written report, I just wanted to point out that the Board of Equalization meeting that was originally scheduled for tonight is not required. We did receive 4 appeals to real property tax assessments, and all were resolved through the standard review process. And I wanted to point out for you that we do have Martins with Appraisal Company of Alaska online tonight in case council has any questions.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Chastain.
Did you say the 28th and 29th of May?
That's correct.
Any further questions, Councilman Longo?
I don't have anything right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments for city manager on his report? Hearing none. Thank you. Move on. Councilman Luby.
Sorry, I almost forgot. Thanks for getting Summers Bay Road open. That was great. We drove out there the other day, and there was people picking mussels up in the tide pools and stuff. So it's just maybe a reminder, we did have somebody that passed away not too long ago on the S-curves from eating mussels from red tide. I don't know if we could put signs up again, just kind of reminding people. I think it would be kind of good because a lot of people don't realize that we have that around here. So that's the only comment. Thanks.
Okay, any further questions or comments for city manager's report? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Next item is community input and announcements. This time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium and state your name.
Hello, I'm Roger Blakely, Director of PCR. I'd like to let you know that the community cleanup has started, and we will continue through the 22nd. Please go to the PCR Facebook page and sign up for the Mattson Prize giveaway. It's pretty fun, so go do that cleanup and make the island look good. We had a lot of people out today, and it was nice. Also, PCR summer programs are now on the website, so sign your kids up now. Get a space while they're still available. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. Good evening. I'm going to talk for the Kawalangan tribe about Camp Kungayu, which is going to be August 2nd to the 8th. And so the applications for children to register are open. The deadline is June 1st, so they're trying to get the word out for camp. And then, can we restart?
I do have.
And then for the Museum of the Aleutians, I wanted to tell everyone that on April 29th and 30th, we had the Eagles View Elementary kids in the museum, and we had a fun time hosting them. Kindergarten through third grade students, they learned a little bit about trade in the Aleutians, and then they participated in a bartering and trade activity, and they were able to trade like some art cards and as they were viewing the art gallery. So it was pretty fun. And then the fourth and fifth graders had a little bit more intensive tour, and it focused on history of commerce in the Aleutians, and also were able to participate in an activity that kind of emphasized environmental adaptation, how people choose the sites they live in, and trade elements involved with living in these islands. Also wanted to mention that we recently received a grant from Museums Alaska that's supported by the Rasmussen Foundation, and that's going to support some inventory work for our museum staff, for our collections work, a lot of behind-the-scenes kind of work. We have reopened to our summer hours, so we're now open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., so come on in. We have on May 16th an open house that's going to feature the Ta Chi collection. These are artifacts that were excavated in the 80s from the Reese Bay Wislow area. And so we're going to put out some of the, we finally got these cataloged. We had some grant funding, we had city funding. We also, these are a collection of artifacts that got impacted by the fire at the, one of the OC's storage units. And we had to rehouse everything, put them all in new Ziplocs and new boxes. It was a lot of work. So we completed that project, and we're going to have them out for show on Saturday. Saturday is also the last day for the community art show, so come in and take a look at that. And then on Sunday, artists can come in and pick up their art between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Other things that we have going on are the May 20th Access to Cultural Heritage. This will be at the Kawalangan Tribe at 5:30. And we are going to put some objects on display there in their display case. So we'll have some harpoons and points and a stone lamp from Chernofsky. And May 28 is our trivia, and we'll be at the Norwegian Rat. And so come and join us, have some fun, and have a chance to win a large free pizza donated by the Rat. And that's all I have for you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to be speaking on behalf of three organizations tonight. Catherine McGlashan from UVB is in Anchorage with her grandson. As you know, he's fighting a serious illness right now. And she said she had dinner with him, and he requested pepperoni pizza. So that's a good sign that he's feeling better. She wanted me to mention on behalf of the Visitors Bureau that they had a very successful wine tasting, great turnout, fun event, went really well. I believe they raised around $54,000, which is an amazing success. And she wanted to express her gratitude to the community for all the help. The UVB is having a silent auction for two round trip tickets on Alaska Air Group valued at $3,500. You have to go into the office to do a bid. You can't do it over the phone or call. Just go in there and stop by. So give them a call at 581-2612 to make sure they're there and go by and bid. And that is going on through June 11th. So you've got some time. Now I'm speaking on behalf of the Alaska Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. Back in April, I spoke to you about the proposed funding cuts to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, or AHFC, Homeless Assistance Program. I told you then about how many people these funds have enabled USAFE to help people in this community to secure or retain safe housing, or by providing safe shelter either at USAFE or elsewhere for those who had no place to go. I believe these funds are going to be even more crucial over the next few years as fuel and other prices continue to rise. Thanks to much public outcry, the House Finance Committee did restore level funding, but as you know, nothing is set in stone until Governor Dunleavy signs the budget. So if you've got any pull with the governor, or if you have 5 minutes to call or email the governor's office, it's not too late for you to encourage him to leave the AHFC funds alone. These funds literally save lives across our state. And now I'm speaking on behalf of USAFE. The Unalaska Interagency Cooperative will meet Thursday, May 28th at 12 noon at the Unalaska Public Library. The Unalaska Interagency Cooperative is an informal meeting open to the public, usually lasts about 1 hour, and is a nice chance to find out about what's going on with various entities around town. We'll probably take a hiatus in the summer, so this will probably be our last meeting until August or September. So we hope to see some folks there. Thanks to donations from Safeway, Matson, GCI, and American Seafoods, USAFE will provide summer break food boxes to families whose children would normally be eating free or reduced breakfast and lunch at school. If you know someone who might benefit from some extra help with food while school is out or any time, please ask them to give us a call at 907-581-1500. USAFE collaborated with the Kawalangan Tribe to hold a short march to recognize missing and murdered Indigenous women, or MMIW, to highlight the crisis of disproportionate violence against Indigenous women. On May 5th, over 100 people and a few furry friends gathered to march under a sunny blue sky to show their solidarity for confronting the systematic inequities that have allowed this crisis to go on for decades. USAFE was very honored to be part of the march and to participate in some of the other week-long MMIW activities held by the Kawalangan Tribe. Finally, I'd just like to remind you that USAFE will be holding our annual Unalaska Celebrates Pride event on Friday, June 12th at the Berm Road Chapel from 5 to 7 p.m. This event will feature food, friendship, family, and fun, and will celebrate the beautiful diversity of our community. We invite all of you to attend and enjoy some food and celebrate. Oh, there's Mr. Mayor at the march. It was a beautiful day. Oh, you're good. Celebrate the beautiful diversity of our community and celebrate the freedom that everyone deserves to live authentic lives with people that they love. If you have any questions, call USAVE at 907-581-1500. That was a beautiful event. Was very exciting to see so many people come out for it. And Sweetie Tudiakoff of the Tribe did such a great job organizing all the MMIT events last week. It was really an honor to work with her. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in chambers wish to speak? Anyone on phone or telephone or Zoom?
No, sir. No one made an indication. No, sir. No.
Hard to hear you with the mask. Okay, we'll move on to public comment on agenda items. This is the time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until the item comes up for a regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with City Clerk. Please come to the podium and state your name.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, my name is David Gibson, and I've been a member of this community for 15 years and a member of the Unalaska Fire Department in some capacity for the last 10 years. I'm currently a career captain and serve as the local 5315's president. I would like to encourage you all to adopt Resolution 2026-28, authorizing the interim city manager to sign a collective bargaining agreement between the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska Career Firefighters IAFF Local 5315. I'd like to thank Chief Eddie Athey, Interim City Manager Abner Hoag, and HR Manager Amy Stanford for their collaboration and effort in reaching a tentative agreement. In my opinion, the collective and collaborative bargaining process was very meaningful and beneficial for both parties involved. As a relatively new union, we were able to create the first CBA that addressed firefighter-specific issues that will not only benefit the employees, but you all as the employers and ultimately the community members of Unalaska. Both sides were able to sit down at the table over the last week and a half and have open and honest conversations ultimately about how the fire department and its members could better serve the community, and I feel as though we have reached a fair agreement. I believe both parties were not only heard but truly listened to issues brought forward and were able to communicate effectively, reach understandings and agreements that were mutually beneficial. Again, I please ask you to adopt Resolution 2026-28. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Sorry. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Karen Mackey, and I'm a firefighter with the city. I'm here tonight on behalf of the members of IAFF Local 5315, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight regarding our collective bargaining agreement. First, I would like to recognize and thank Fire Chief Eddie Athey, HR Manager Amy Stanford, and Interim City Manager Abner Hoag for the professionalism, collaboration, and commitment through this process. These negotiations represented an important milestone for our department, as this is the first firefighter-specific collective bargaining agreement within the city. From the beginning, both the city and the union approached these discussions with a shared goal, creating a contract that recognizes the unique nature of the fire service while supporting the long-term success of the department and the city as a whole. The process required a great deal of teamwork, communication, and compromise from everyone involved. While no one walked away getting everything they wanted, I believe that this is a sign of a fair and balanced agreement. Together, we were able to build a contract that provides meaningful improvements, establishes clearer expectations, and strengthens the working relationship between the city and IAFF Local 5315. Most importantly, this agreement reflects a collaborative effort built on mutual respect and a shared investment in the future of emergency services in our community. I hope the council recognizes the amount of hard work, dedication, and good faith negotiation that both teams brought to the table throughout this process, and I respectfully ask for your approval on Resolution 2026-28 later tonight. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak to our agenda items? City Clerk, do we have any comments written or submitted?
Yes, sir, but not for this item, sir. We'll have one later.
Okay, I see. Okay, thanks. Next item 10 is the public hearing. Public hearing for the appeal of the taxi permit transfer denial is now open. 6:22 p.m. I'll turn this over to City Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have our city attorney, Mr. Charles Cassiola, and you have with you, Mayor and Council, the memo from him. But we have Mr. Cassiola here to assist us with this procedure, and he has joined us over in Teams. So, Mr. Cassiola, if you could please walk us through the process.
Good evening. So, on occasion, the council serves as a body that hears appeals. That is what you're doing this evening. I will be here to provide any advice to council throughout the evening. I think it'll be rather short. The item before you is an appeal from the city manager's decision to deny a taxi cab permit and a renewal permit. I'll jump into sort of the procedure you should follow. First, you'll want to hear from the licensed applicant, as he's the appellant. Is he there this evening, or is he not in attendance?
He is here in person.
Okay, very good. So you want to begin by hearing from him, and then the city manager will have an opportunity to present his arguments. And then you can hear from the public, limited to 3 minutes each. And I would recommend that you give Mr. Seiss then a short rebuttal argument if he would like to make it. After you hear all this, then is your opportunity to deliberate. And you can do that in executive session, or you can do it in open session. Would you like me to kind of give some further guidance as to the procedure, or do you want to begin and then we can get to the deliberations and voting after you hear from the parties in public?
Okay, thank you. The last.
Mr. Mayor, I think Mr. Cassiola is asking the question if you wanted to hear more on the procedures, or we want to go ahead and begin with the process.
Does any council members have a question for Mr. Cassiola? Councilman Longo? Lost him again.
He is online, sir. He tried unmuting earlier, but we didn't hear what you had to say, Mr. Longo. If you could please repeat that.
I do not have any questions at this time. I'm ready to.
Okay, thanks. When you do, just holler out. I see you waving your hands. And questions from council members on the process? Okay. Hearing none. Thanks, Charles.
Yes, if you have any questions at any point, just let me know.
So we will. Thanks. City Clerk, please continue this hearing.
I would like to call in Mr. Vasilis.
Good evening. As you might know, I bought a taxi, which is called Star Taxi. Before I did that, I went to the city clerk's office. I asked for all the requirements. I went to the police department. I went to DMV to make sure that my background qualifies to run taxi in the city of Onalaska. And I compared all the requirements. I talked to the city clerk. I talked to DMV and everybody else. They confirmed that I should be able to do that. Once I bought the taxi, I applied for a taxi permit. And since then, it's been over three months, the city clerk been finding every single reason not to give me a permit. First, it was that I didn't have commercial insurance, which, in fact, I already did. Then it was something else and something else. Every single week I came back to the office, there was something else to deny the taxi permit. I already have a chauffeur's license, which is more related to driving than holding a permit. Taxi permit holder doesn't necessarily drive. It could be just an elderly person that's holding the permit and drivers operating vehicles for them. So when I looked, we had a meeting with the city manager and police chief, and they used the reason to deny my permit, which was listed. If you have it, it's listed as a reason that I'm not a good moral reputation character. Again, so which specifically they use the reason that my license has been revoked in the past for any reason within the last 10 years. It is true, but it was revoked because of the case, which is still pending to begin with. It's been over 2 years at this point. The next court hearing is next week, I believe. That's why the city clerk, one of the reasons after the insurance, when I went there, she gave me a list of criminal charges because of my pending case. None of those criminal charges apply to me. Even if I found guilty for that charge, it's not anywhere near for those qualifications for taxi permit holder. It's much more serious charges like murder, assault, stalking, and everything else. There is a requirement for chauffeur's license as a good moral character, which includes those 10 years of not having your license revoked. I already have a chauffeur's license. There's no reason to revoke it at this point. That's why I bought the taxi, because legally I was under the impression that I can drive and operate the business. And I have been doing it for 3 months under the previous owner's name, which again, city clerk told me that I can do that. And until it's finalized, it's legal to do so. About 2 weeks ago when I went there for update for my application, I was told that that taxi permit has been canceled way back in February. By the city clerk, by the request of the previous owner. In the meantime, I filed an appeal, which, again, in my understanding, good moral character, 10 years of revocation, it should not apply to taxi permit holder, and it should be more for drivers and operating the vehicles. So, in the meantime, I don't have a permit. Business has to run somehow. I'm not sure what to do. I might have to sell it if I get denied.
Thank you. Do you have any questions or comments?
And just to mention, in my appeal, I already listed a bunch of reasons why my taxi service has proven to be better than a lot of them on this island. I accept any kind of payment, not just cash, which is very convenient to a lot of customers. I'm a professional driver. We used to have a CDL Class A with every single endorsement, over 2 million miles in 4 different countries without a single accident. A lot of customers already appreciated that as well. What else? I provide extra services in the cab, like Bluetooth music, like hotspot. A lot of people here don't have phones at work, especially seasonal workers, and it's very convenient to them. Again, I used to also run a Lima service out of New York State with 100% success rate. Not a single accident, not a single missed flight, every single happy customer. Thank you.
Thank you. next item, we'll ask, are there any public comments this time?
Mr. Mayor, if the council has any questions for Mr. Sis, and then you can ask that now, and then afterwards, Mr. Ho could present his case, and then there's an opportunity for council to ask Mr. Hogue. And then afterwards, we could receive public comments. And then I could ask the appellant if he has any other closing statements. And then from there, council could decide to deliberate whether in public or through executive session. So right now, Mr. Mayor, if you could ask the council if they have any questions to Mr. Sis. If not, we could go ahead and proceed with Mr. Hogue.
Yeah, I asked the council if they had comments earlier. The comments? And I heard from Longo, he had no comments.
No, sir. He didn't raise his hand or has any indication of unmuting.
Okay. The next process in this hearing is to deliberate in public or in executive session to get to...
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Go ahead, Charles.
I think you've skipped over the city manager. He should have an opportunity to present the information arguments he wants to present, and then the public before we move on to deliberation. So manager, public, and then if Mr. Seis wants to give any closing statement.
Okay, thanks. Interim city manager, yeah, comment on your decision.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. My role tonight is to present to you the administrative record, explain how the decision was reached. I'll walk you through some relevant code sections, what our application process is. The police chief, I will ask him to come up and summarize his findings, and then I'll explain to you the basis for the determination that's before you. You do have a copy of the relevant code sections in front of you, which I've highlighted, and I'll refer to those as I walk you through this. And then also the clerk has put those up on the screen for the public. So first off is the taxi permit framework. Taxi cab permits and transfers are governed in the code under Chapter 9.12. And under 9.12.020, which if you look in the left margin of that document I gave you, you'll see red item numbers. This is item one that I'm at. So 020 tells us that a taxi cab permit is required to operate a taxi in the city. When a permit holder wants to transfer ownership or interest in that permit, 9.12.080, which is item 2, requires the transferee to apply for and be approved before the transfer is valid. All applications, including transfer applications, have to follow the process in 9.12.040, and they're submitted to the city clerk who routes them for review. That's under item 3 in that margin for you, and it's quite a long process. It lists the things that Mr. Sis said that he had to provide. So he did follow that application process. Once the clerk's received a completed transfer, a completed application, it's routed to the police chief for a background review. The chief will review the criminal history, driving record, and any other relevant information, and provides a recommendation to the city manager, who's the approving authority under our code. It's a standard process that we use for all applicants. The authority to deny an application or taxi cab permit or transfer of a permit is in 9.12.120A. It's item 4 in that margin. And that section provides that a taxi cab permit, an application for a permit, or an application for transfer of permit can be denied if the applicant fails to meet the minimum standards that are outlined in 9.12.050. That's item 5 in your margin. These standards include a requirement under paragraph A in that section that an applicant be of good moral reputation and character. The term good moral reputation and character is defined for us in item 6, 9.12.010H. The definition includes a non-exclusive list of conduct that indicates a lack of good moral character. Good moral reputation and character. One of the listed items, item 2D in that list, which is marked as number 7, identifies a prior driver's license revocation for any reason within the past 10 years as conduct demonstrating a lack of good moral reputation and character. And these standards apply, again, to both new applicants as well as transferees. And these are the standards that I'm required to apply when reviewing a transfer application. At this point, I'd like to ask the police chief to come up and summarize his review of the applicant's record and the basis for his recommendation to me.
Thank you, Mr. Hogue. As Mr. Hogue explained, the police chief is part of the process, and it's towards the end of the process, so a lot of things happen. But we don't do background checks until I get that document with all of the attachments. So I received that document. The first thing I did was I checked in our local CAD system, our records, police record system, and I discovered that on 3/5/24, he had been arrested for DUI. I reviewed the officer's report and found that there were sobriety tests issued. He was considered to be under the influence of alcohol and was arrested at that time. He was transported to the police station. He submitted to a breath alcohol test at the station, which resulted in an alcohol level of 0.207, well above the 0.08 limit set by the state. Per Alaska statutes, section 28.15.165, he was issued a notice and order of revocation and disqualification. This is a form that is created and used by the State Department of Motor Vehicles. If you are at or above a 0.08, this is the document that puts you under basically a statutory summary suspension for a period of time. So we filled out that form, took his driver's license as required, submitted him to the state. Then later, after I got this information, then I went to APSIN, which is how we run people's driver's license, to find out what the record was listed in APSIN. And in APSIN, it shows that he was, in fact, administratively revoked from 3/13/2024 to 7/30/2024 on the order notification for DUI. Based on that information, I recommended denial of the taxi permit and forwarded it on back to the clerk's office through them to Mr. Hoke. The court case, the DUI court case, is still pending.
Thank you, Chief. So when I received that recommendation from the police chief and based on his findings that the applicant did have a prior administrative driver's license revocation within the past 10 years, and as he admitted to in his testimony, it's conduct that falls under that item 7 marked in your margin as 912.010H2D, good moral character and reputation. He therefore did not meet the qualifying standards under 912.050A, and the application was denied based on that status. I did issue a written denial for the transfer of application, and I met with Mr. Siss, the police chief, and I met with Mr. Siss in person, explained the reason for the denial, walked him through the applicable code sections similar to what I'm doing for you tonight, and provided him with the written decision. I also informed him of his right to appeal the decision to the city council within 30 days, consistent with 912.130. And he acknowledged receipt at that time. And that concludes the process for the administrative review, as well as my presentation of the administrative record. If you have any questions for the police chief or I, we're happy to answer.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Any questions from council members? Councilman Cole?
So just for clarification, so this is a DMV decision regardless of any of the charges, correct? So usually if you get a DUI, you have a license revocation automatically pending administrative review. Do I have something like that?
You get an administrative review if you request it from DMV.
Okay.
Through the statute, that's how this works. Anywhere in arrested for DUI that has a breath alcohol of 0.8 or above, this document is filed. It's an automatic thing. It has no, it's not that it doesn't have any basis on the trial, but it's an administrative function by the Department of Motor Vehicles for everyone that is at that level or higher or refuses to take a breath alcohol or blood test.
Right. So it's automatic.
It's automatic from the DMV.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions of council members for Abner or the chief? Councilman Councilman Shashti, then Longo.
Thank you. Question on the chauffeur's license. Just, and I believe I'm pretty clear on this. The justification for denial of the transfer of the taxi cab permit is because he no longer qualifies for a chauffeur's license based on a number of factors, including the arrest, the administrative revocation of his license. He has a chauffeur's license now, from what I understand. What is the renewal period for that chauffeur's license?
The renewal is in on December 31st, total of 3 years, and I believe his comes up in December of this year.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you said 3 years?
3 years.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Shasta and Councilman Longo. Any questions on Abner Hogue's presentation?
No, I don't have any questions. It seems like you guys followed the code there and came up with your answer.
Thank you. Councilman Luby.
So the chauffeur's license, he had a chauffeur's license before he was arrested for the DUI?
That's correct. He did have a chauffeur's license prior to the arrest.
Okay. And that was revoked at the same time with his regular license?
The chauffeur's license has not been revoked. The criteria for that is slightly different, and we were not considering that under this application. The application for permit transfer and permit renewal are different criteria and different times when they're considered and reviewed.
So when you lose your driver's license, when your driver's license is revoked, your chauffeur's license is not?
Not automatically, no.
Okay. And so his chauffeur's license is good till the end of December right now?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilman Luby. Any further questions? Council? Okay. The next one is to ask the applicant if he has any questions or what?
Members of the public, sir.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll open it up for anybody in public to make any comments or questions on this item of revoked of tax permit transfer.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Julianne Tucker, and I've been a resident here since 1982. Thank you for all being here and letting the public speak. I want to bring the personal experience of Vasily to your attention of mine and to the city council. In response to the city response, everything is he stated is absolutely true, but they left out a lot of unknown things to you. Vasily has driven while he did not have a license many times. I was his landlord. I saw him drive. many times. I called the UPD many times about his driving, but they never caught him. He is also a racist bigot, calling everyone of color nasty names, and said many times they should go back to their own country, calling people of color worthless. He is also a dangerous manipulator, con artist, and a thief. He is an artist of in changing words around and taking advantage of people. I have personally dealt with everything above, including accusations of bodily harm. I have taken him to court many times, as always, and he always appeals everything while falsifying statements and lying straight out. This man should not be able to work around people where they could be put in a vulnerable position, having him driving them, especially people of color. I have heard him say this. I've heard him say they should be offed, not allowed to exist. He also carries guns, which he has permits, which in turn thinks he's superior. Through the years I've known him, he cannot even hold a job for more than 2 years because of others that annoy him, colored people. This includes our hometown natives, that this is not their land. His Nazi-like attitude thinks they should be diminished from earth. We don't need a man like this on our island, let alone being a business owner. I am personally scared of this man. I think he should go back to his own country and listen to his own words. I ask the city council to deny him any part of business in this town. Thank you. I'll take any questions you guys want.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Council, have any questions? No. Okay, thanks. Thank you. Anyone else? Public comments? Anybody on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir, but I have received a written comment for the record. This one is from Mr. Brett Richardson. He is the general manager at Unicy Hospitality. And he writes, On April 21, the applicant, SIS, had a long-term stalking protective order, 3UN-26-00013CI, issued for stalking and harassing a Unicy employee. Apart from this instance, SIS has a long history of spreading misinformation and harassing citizens of Unalaska on social media. Following the recent stalking and harassment event, including noncompliance with no parking zones and argumentative behavior, Unicy Safety Security contacted UPD to extend the trespass order from the Harbor View Inn building, including Harbor View Bar and Grill, Harbor Sushi, and the Harbor View Liquor Store to all Unicy properties, effective immediately and indefinitely. The behavior displayed goes against all definitions of good moral reputation and character. Thank you. Signed, Mr. Brett Christensen.
Okay, thank you. Any further written comments or anybody on Zoom to public comment?
No, sir. That was it.
Okay, thank you. Next comments that we have, our next move is the council to discuss.
Mr. Mayor, at this time we could provide Mr. Sis any closing comments if he has any.
Ask Mr. Is it Tessie?
Well, first of all, let's start with Ms. Tucker's comments. Thank you. Ms. Tucker's comments, yes, we've been to court multiple times because I used to be her tenant. And she used to be my landlord. The court case after, same thing, 1 or 2 years has been decided in my favor. And Ms. Tucker used to have an order of protection. I used to have another protection against Ms. Tucker, which she first applied for it. The court denied it, and they issued an order of protection for me against Ms. Tucker while she evicted me technically legally from your, from her property. That order expired at this point, but it's been a year of order of protection for me against Ms. Tucker. So she couldn't come post me, she couldn't communicate, and everything else. The order you mentioned at Unicy, it's most recent. It's the person that knows me, knew me for 2 days. We only had text communication, peaceful communication, but according to court, according to her statement, it was too much for her. That's why she asked for order of protection. There was no threats. There was nothing violent whatsoever. And nobody was stalking anybody. Nobody was, we never met in person unless I saw her in the bar and we texted to each other. That's it. That's also being appealed right now. And there are reasons why I asked Unicy not to provide service to their employees and customers, because there were quite a few criminal things happened over this season when I was driving a taxi. First, my taxi was stolen from Harborview Bar by a drunk fisherman. We had a court hearing today about it. He's facing a Class C felony. Second time, about a week later, my friend, he's a supervisor at the gas station, Spencer, he got drugged by roofies, with roofies, I should say, confirmed by blood work by the Unicy employees, cooks at sushi bar, which work downstairs and live upstairs. So conveniently, they drug people downstairs and they ask them to go in their room upstairs and they can do whatever they want to them. That's also another case which I'm not part of, but I might be there as a witness because I was also invited to that party, including Spencer, both of us. So potentially we could be drugged, both of us. Luckily, I wasn't there. Another reason, there are multiple reasons why I would rather not drive through Unicy, especially on that Salmon Road, Gilman Road. It's not paved. People go there, especially drunk people from the red. They fly through that curve and they lose. And they almost collide with my taxi 3 or 4 times in that turn right next to the museum. I asked security at Unicy specifically for security camera footage. They don't have cameras there. I do have dashboard cameras, so I do have proof of every single incident inside and outside of the car. Now, getting to people of color, I don't separate people by color. I judge by behavior. Best of my customers are people of color, if you want to call it that way. I don't. So to me, there are nice people, and there are people that don't behave. You can judge me by any of my comments. You called it harassment, or if UNC manager called it harassment on social media, that's on you. So I'm straightforward, and if the person is doing something wrong, I will address it. And if, especially if my customer is doing something illegal in the car, which happened multiple times during the season, which I brought to the police department, with pictures, video footage, and everything else, like selling drugs, like doing drugs in the car, offering drugs to me while I'm driving. That's also, luckily, they're not Unicy employees. Those are Westward employees, which used to work for Unicy, but they got fired from Unicy and then went to Westward. Then they got fired at Westward, and they work on boats. That's why I got Coast Guard involved. And a lot of boats have been checked this season, thanks to me. A lot of people have been fired, thanks to me, for doing something illegal. Now let's get to that reason for denial. If you look at the qualifications, like you, the city manager used reason that I'm not a guru, moral care. Okay, I get that. And part of it is your license has been revoked. Again, if you look for qualifications for taxi permit, it has nothing to do with driving. It doesn't even require to have a driver's license. So if the person never had a driver's license in his life, that's better than if he had it and then he had it revoked sometime in the past for the case, which is still pending. That's what I'm saying. So taxi permit holder has nothing to do with driving, even according to the qualifications that you have for the city. There's only one little reason, that good moral character, and then part of it is if you had your license revoked within the last 10 years. So, again, taxi permit doesn't have anything to do with driving. It could be anybody, any resident of an Alaska, and they might never have a driver's license in their life. So, thanks for everything. Hope we can fix this somehow. If not, that's okay. I can solve it.
Okay, thank you. We've got
gotten through our hearing with everyone speaking. And now it's time for the council to make the decision, unless there is discussion that needs to be done amongst the council only. If the case is, we have the ability to go into executive session or stay in public record. I have been warning for public record and move on.
I'm prepared to make my comments in public without going to executive session, but I'll defer to the rest of council.
I'm fine to make comments in public and make a decision.
Okay, this time I'll call for a motion to decide the issue regarding Mr. Tees and the denial by the city of Unalaska for a taxicab permit, licensing, and transfer. I'm stating what we've gone through so far, and then we'll have, if there's any questions from council. Councilman Coleman.
I move to affirm the manager's decision.
That move to affirm the manager's decision, moved by Councilman Coleman. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Chastain. Discussion, Councilman Coleman.
Yeah, thank you. First off, I appreciate everybody coming forward and speaking in the public hearing. It's because it's in code, it doesn't really seem very ambiguous to me. I mean, there's a lot of things to have to go through. And it sounds like in a lot of a big process to move through on this. But really, when it comes down to, you know, are we following? And I mean, that's my position, is this council is required to follow our city ordinances. And by definition, there seems to be means in which, because of the revocation of the license due to the DUI, it's automatic, and therefore his license was been suspended or revocated for a certain amount of time. It's regardless of the decision of a DUI and the outcome of that, it has to do technically with the suspension. So, you know, really, I don't see any reason that wouldn't apply or any way around it. A license is a license, and so I don't want to mince on the chauffeur's license when you have your driver's license taken, you cannot drive. So until that is administratively changed. So for that reason, I believe I will support the city manager's decision as to not to allow for the transfer of the permit.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further council discussion? Councilman Longo on the motion, discussion?
It is in the code. I know that he had stated, you know, because of one little thing, but that one little thing is right right in there under a section, so it's not so little losing your driver's license. So I support the city manager's decision.
Thank you, Councilman Longo. Any further comments or discussion, council members?
Mr. Mayor, yep. I've seen that Mr. Tungle is available online too.
Okay, Councilman Tungle, you're on.
Mr. Tungle, go ahead and unmute yourself, please, so we can hear if you have any comments. He is not unmuting, sir, so I guess he doesn't have any comment for this.
All right,
we can call on him too.
All right. Motion was to made by Councilman Coleman was to move to affirm the manager's decision regarding the transfer of permit. Mr. Fiss, and we'll now call for a roll call vote without objection. Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I want to say that code kind of dictates what we do. And if a driver's license is a driver's license, not a chauffeur, they're different. The chauffeur's license obviously did not get revoked at the same time, but it doesn't say chauffeur, it says driver's license. And there's a lot in this, and there's a lot of different things for different types of businesses that you have to go through, depending on the type of business it is. And so, our hands are basically tied by code as well. If code got changed, then we could possibly do something different. But as it is now, we have to follow the code that was set by council, whether it was set by us or others. And so for those reasons, I'm going to have to also go with the city manager's decision. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Discussions. The city manager denied the application and transfer of taxicab permit and renewal of a taxicab permit based on a moral reputation and character requirement. Good moral reputation and character. Without that is the reason that the city manager denied the permit. So that's what we're voting on. So I'll ask for a roll call vote without any objection. Roll call.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Chastain.
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Karen, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
How do you vote, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Longo?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5-0. The appeal for a taxicab permit transfer has been upheld by denying the permit. Thank all the chief of police and the work of staff to. There is a lot to say about the code, and if you don't follow the code, then they have problems.
case.
That is a decision of the City Council. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
This is Charles. So the code requires that the council adopt written findings in support of its decision. So what we'll do is I will prepare written findings that reflect the evidence that was presented and your discussions, and those will go into your packet for your next meeting for you to review and adopt.
Okay, thank you. I did see that note on your memo, but that only includes the adoption of this discussion and the codes that were affected. Okay, on the next meeting. Thank you. Okay. We'll come out of... We're finished with the public hearing. Next on our agenda is the consent agenda, which there are three items listed, absent a request from the council to move one or more items to a regular agenda for discussion. The consent agenda is adopted without discussion and with a single vote. First item is Resolution 2026, authorizing the interim city manager to enter in a construction contract with Trust Construction Incorporated for the Eagle View Elementary Playground and Soccer Field Project. Item B, which is the second item under consent agenda, is the Resolution 2026-27, authorizing interim city manager to enter into a contract with Samson Electric Incorporated for LED lighting replacement project at the Recreation Center. Item 3, Resolution 2026-29, authorizing interim city manager to enter into agreement with Samson Electric Incorporated for the library generator installation project on the amount of $115,949. I have a motion and a second to adopt the consent agenda.
I'll move to adopt the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Luby. With this vote, we'll now call for a vote on the consent agenda.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Longo.
Yes.
Mr. Tungel.
Yes.
Ms. Coleman.
Yes.
Ms. Luby.
Yes.
Mr. Chastain.
Yes.
With this vote, the council has adopted the consent agenda approving Resolution 2026-26, 27, and 29, a vote of 5-0 in favor of adopting the consent agenda. Next item is the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. First item is Ordinance 2026-10, first reading, adopting the fiscal year 2027 operating and capital budget for the City of Unalaska. May I have a motion and a second to introduce Ordinance 2026-10 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on May 26th.
I move to introduce Ordinance 2026-10 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on May 26, 2026.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Chastain. Turn this over to City Manager for information.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Over the past several months, we've walked through the FY27 budget during multiple council work sessions in detail, including personnel, operating costs, capital projects, and we've discussed the long-range financial outlook. The ordinance before you tonight brings all of that together into the full operating capital budget for FY27, and the finance director and I are available for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from city council members? Councilman Luby, then Chastain? No?
I appreciate all the work that everybody went into to doing this, and I get it. We're kind of, this is kind of a bridge year. We weren't able to meet the goal of having a balanced budget, and we had to appropriate funds out of our savings for that. And I look forward to the future, in the future, of trying to close that gap. Revenues seem to be pretty consistent. It's, you know, pretty hard to continue to have expenses increase year after year after year without the revenue being realized to support that. With that, there was one thing that actually just kind of came to mind as I was reading through the memo, and one of them is the sales tax growth. It, you know, it shows that it's approximately 1%, and it is, you know, increased based on reflecting inflation. I'm sorry, versus economic growth, right? And sales tax is actually a very good indicator of how the cost of living is doing here. The city of Unalaska doesn't seem to be affected with other cost of livings down in the lower 48 or even in the mainland Alaska. We have our own economy here based on fishing pretty much, and that's our driving factor. But 1%, but then, so if you look at that and then you go look at the COLA increases, which is cost of living, where our, you know, our wages are increasing at 2.7 to 3% based on the cost of living, but yet, you know, our revenues are only increasing at 1% based on sales tax. It's just something that I noticed there, that it's like, well, of course we're going to overextend our expenses versus our income. And so those are just kind of, you know, some things. Other, our cost of health insurance is increasing. A 12% increase in health insurance is quite a bit. And that's a big hit to the budget as well. So, you know, going forward, I think we're going to have to kind of not so much look at more revenue. Where are we going to get more revenue? We might have to make some tough decisions or at least evaluate things for the future, because it's not sustainable for the future. So I look forward to, you know, some of the things that you said in your memo here with maybe defining services, and do we need all the services we have? Do, you know, is there some that we need to maybe cut? Is the community willing to cut some services in order to reduce our expenses? Those are, you know, those are some things that we need to kind of look at. And, you know, do we have inefficiencies around, you know, that need to be looked at? And is there waste that we can cut down on? And, you know, just different things like that. So for the long term, I think we do need to really look at different things in the city, whether we need them or not. And so, anyway, I look forward to trying to close that gap one way or the other and see if we can't do that. And we don't want to increase cost to the community. That's the last thing I want to do. So I'd rather reduce the cost to the community and see where we can go at cutting costs in the future. So anyway, but thanks for all the hard work everybody did. Appreciate that a lot. So all the staff, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully you can answer this question. I was just comparing the draft you guys gave us at the last meeting compared to this one, and there was a pretty significant change in the capital outlays from the last time was $209,000, and now it's $927,000. I was wondering if you have... can explain that?
I can provide a response to that.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Jim.
Sure. Councilmember Coleman, what you saw in the first draft a couple of weeks ago included smaller items that when the IT department puts their budget together, they put in items primarily related to printers. that are purchased around the city, those that are, they evaluate those, and that those do have a life cycle. There are several printers around the city that support was going to end during FY 2027, and it just seemed prudent to replace them. That's what was in the budget on the April 28th. Once the CMMP was approved, there were rolling stock items included in that that were then added to capital outlay. They're not projects, so they don't show up as a transfer to a capital project account, but they do show up as capital outlay, and you will see those under facilities maintenance and roads. I think those are the two main areas where there were some additional fairly significant items that were related to rolling stock. Does that help?
But those are transfers in. So I guess help me understand how expense on the rolling stock is a transfer in, I guess, or how is it, or maybe it's a accounting thing that I've haven't.
No, I probably didn't explain that quite the right way. Okay, project related items in the CMMP are transfers. Those go to the capital projects fund for the construction or acquisition or completion of a project. Rolling stock is not included in those transfers. Those are recorded within the general fund or within a proprietary fund if that's where it were to take place. In this case, it was all within the general fund. And so those are shown as capital outlay, and they are included in the operating. There's a separate capital outlay component for each department's operating budget. And that's where the rolling stock shows up.
Okay. I think I got it now. And I look at this, you know, you always just like, what's the bottom number here? And you see it in giant number in parentheses, and it's kind of scary. I do have to say, though, what is not really being revealed in this is this year's is the monies that we have in our 1% fund that we'll be able to utilize for a lot of these projects and stuff. So that's I don't think it's quite as ominous as it looks right this year, although I do always look at the path forward and the projection, especially as we discussed last time. And so I appreciate the work that's gone into this, and recognize, though, that, you know, we've got some really important facility construction needs this town needs to deal with. And fortunately, we have a little bit in our back pocket that we can use for that. But anything else major coming forward, we really have to start taking some look at, you know, the community needs and the revenue that's coming in. And, you know, if you need something, how do you pay for it? And with fisheries being kind of somewhat stagnant and not really keeping up with the growth and the expenses of the city, really kind of coming to a crossroads, I think, about, you know, where do we go with the future? And so there's always tough conversations to have, and everybody likes to keep things kind of status quo because things have been working very well, but it may be changing. And we're just going to, you know, I know the city's great, keeping their eye on it, and hopefully council will continue to stay abreast of the evolution and the dynamics of the changing economy that we have. And I really worry about this budget. I mean, you didn't foresee a major war going on and lasting. You know, gas prices and sales will increase, but everybody's expenses will also increase with that. So the dynamics of that is going to be really telling on the next few months to see the projections of this particular budget. So I appreciate the work that goes into it, and I don't have any further questions regarding it right now.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Chastain.
Thank you. Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with Councilman Coleman. I think this next coming years, I think the analogy I used last time was we can see the roads wash out in front of us. And the question is really, how fast do we head toward that washout? Do we throttle it and keep spending what we're spending now, or do we reduce our spending? I think the city manager pointed out very eloquently that if we continue on the path we're on, we will hit that washout sometime soon, within the next number of years. And the only way to come out of that is not necessarily through reduction, which is going to be a part of it, obviously, but also through generating additional revenue, which I think is critical that we as a community and we as a council and the city realize where our money comes from in large part. We talk about the sales tax and different revenue sources, the property tax and so on. But if you boil it down to the most basic element, our revenue comes from the fishing industry. And I think we as a council and we as a city and a community really need to ensure we support the fishing industry in what we do. I was smacked in the face a number of months ago with the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and this recent decision they made that could have had a major impact on the BCs and pollock fishery, that I feel like we were only kind of made aware of about a month before this council meeting came up, where this major decision was being made. And it's been a discussion for over the year. My request to the city is really look at where we generate our revenue and continue to support our fisheries and be proactive in supporting our fisheries, not just the pollock fishery, but the crab fishery and other fisheries as well. And by doing that, the impact we'll see as individual community members will likely be a little bit less, because the fisheries will continue to grow and continue to generate that revenue, or moreover, may not see as big a decrease in the future. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Shasti, for the comments. Councilman Longo, or? Unmute Councilman Tungo.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate the presentation. Things are not that bad yet. We can look at this every month when we get the report and adjust ourselves on what we want to do. It's hard to predict what's going to happen. So as long as we get updated every month on our budget, we can adjust the way we want it and cut wherever we want. That's why we got the city manager to work on those. So he can present to us where we can cut up wherever we need if we have to. But right now, I appreciate the presentation, and I think we're still looking good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Longo?
Mr. Mayor, we lost Mr. Longo. I had contacted him to connect back to us. As soon as I see him connect, I will let you know, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. That's no. Okay, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Hearing no public comments on this item, 2026-10. A request, motion is to approve resolution 2026-10. First reading adopting the fiscal year 2027 operating capital budget for the city of Unalaska. Request a roll call vote.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Chastain?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Longo still has not reconnected, sir.
Thank you. With this vote, the council has introduced Ordinance 2026-10 and scheduled it for public hearing and second reading on May 26, 2026 on the roll call vote of 5-0. 4-0. Next item is the council directive to city manager. Then. Next item is community input and announcements. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council and make announcements. Anyone in the chambers wish to speak? Anyone on Zoom or written comments?
Yes, sir. We have someone who would like to speak. Ms. Kim Haines.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor and City Council. On a personal note, I first want to thank everyone that's worked so hard on opening up the Summers Bay Road and making it safe. Just opens up so many opportunities to go and really enjoy the land. And then as superintendent, just announcements as far as the district goes, wrapping up the school year, lots of fun things to participate in. We have this Friday, if the weather permits, beach day with elementary. And then on Monday, the elementary is going to have an art show. Also that night is our music concert. The 16th, which is Saturday, we have prom. And that's going to be at the Grand Aleutian Hotel this year. And then leading up to graduation on the 20th, we have our graduation parade starting at 6 p.m. 21st is our scholarship night, also at 6 p.m. And then Saturday, the 23rd, is our graduation. Last day of school for all the rest of the students is on May 28th.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll request a motion and a second to adjourn into executive session.
Mr. Mayor, move we adjourn into executive session.
By Constable Shastin, and then is there a second?
Second.
Tungo?
Yeah.
Second by Councilman Tungo. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we are on executive session at 7:26. Please clear the room and take a 5-minute break. 5 minutes, we'll be back.
So I don't have to call him back. I can stay on this line.
Yes, Karen? Sir. You don't need to. Please stay on the line.
Okay, thank you.
Stay on the line.
I will. Sorry, I tried to get in there. It's pretty hard on this new computer, the line to connect.
You gotta walk that line.
All right.
Motion on resolution 2026-28. First and second.
I'll move to adopt resolution 2026-28.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction. And
thank you, Mr. Mayor. This agenda item is the collective bargaining agreement with the IFF Local 5313. And first of all, I want to thank the local for their productive and professional negotiation process. Both teams work collaboratively, stay focused on solutions that support the department and the community, and the agreement that's before you reflects that work.
Yeah, any further discussion on council? Hearing none, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir, no one signed up.
I'll restate the motion. Adopt resolution 2026-28 authorizing interim city manager to sign a collective bargaining agreement between the City of Unalaska and the Unalaska Career Firefighters / International Association of Firefighters Local 5315. I'll request a roll call vote at this time.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Shastin?
Yes.
Mr. Tungo?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 4 yeses and 0 nays, The council has adopted resolution 2026-28. Having completed our items on the agenda, we are adjourned at 7:54. Thank you very much. Good job, firefighters.
All right, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
110 degrees in here, man.